Back to Alyssa Explains It All. Happy Tuesday. Happy spring. I'm recording this today, actually the Monday before it's going to get posted, because I was away all weekend and preparing the whole week before for the TED Talk that I gave on Saturday. So everyone say thank you, Producer Matt, because this is going to be the tightest turnaround ever. I'm going to try and make this an episode that he doesn't have to edit too much. Anyway. Today's a beautiful day. We're entering the season, though, where things get a little sweaty, which is not my favorite, but I really love the spring. I'm not a big fan of, honestly, I'm not that big of a fan of summer. Like, I'm not a summer girly. I want to be. I think that, like, there's, like, hot girl energy with summer. I personally am just not the biggest fan. I don't want to sweat. Everywhere you go, I'm just sweating. It's just too much. So, you know, I'm enjoying my spring days while I have them. And it's nice to have days that are like a little rainy and cozy. That's my favorite. And then really pleasant sunny days, but not having it be a million zillion degrees. And spring is also a time of year where I feel really connected to nature. Like I feel very, I'm in my like witchiest element in the spring. You would think it would be the fall, and the past like 2 years, it's really been spring. I feel just very connected to the earth, and you know, I'm sorry if that sounds a little woo-woo, but it's true. And so I'll talk about the TED Talk, of course, but I flew out to the TED Talk on Thursday night and flew back Saturday night. John and I took a red eye. So we got back yesterday morning at like 6 a.m. and John had planned for us to go to this very cool holistic spa type thing. I'm not sure what they call it. It's like Zen Om Studio, I think is what it's called. And they have this thing called a PEMF mat. And it vibrates at the same frequency as like the just ground, like the ground frequency. And NASA uses it to help ground their astronauts when they come back from whatever the hell they're doing. And so they have one of those PEMF mats. And if you know what it is, you know, I'm not going to go through a whole spiel explaining it, but there's something called to be magnetic. And it's like a whole thing about manifestation. In any case, they do ads for PEMF mats. And I've always wanted to try them, but the one that they advertise is like $1,500. So I'm like 20% off of that is not really going to help me much, but you know, everyone's different. So being able to experience the PEMF mat was really exciting, and it was so lovely and so grounding. It was like after having probably the most stressful week leading into the most stressful weekend of my like professional career that I've had thus far. I like can't recommend that enough. Like if you can ever find an opportunity to do a PEMF mat and or doing a, what's it called? We also did cryo and a dry sauna. So we did lots of good kind of like holistic healing type things. And that was, oh my God, so nice. It just made me feel so much better. I was so burnt out and I still feel a little burnt out today, but I'm getting back on the horse. Today, I made a very purposeful plan to have like most of my day be doing as close to nothing as possible. So I did stuff that just makes me feel good. Like I cleaned my sheets and I unpacked and got my room like looking a little more in order. Like I washed my bathroom, like everything in my bathroom so that, oh shit, I forgot to clean. This is me just like making a to-do list now. I use reusable pads on my face to wipe my makeup off. Like they're, instead of using like cotton pads, I use fabric pads. And so I have to wash them like every couple of weeks and I'm running very low on the ones that are clean. So I forgot to put those in with my laundry. Damn it. That's okay. I'll wash them later. Anyway, so I'm feeling a lot better and I want to tell you about the whole weekend because it was just crazy. I can't believe that I got to do that. Like, I actually can't believe that this is a part of my life and the things that I can say I've done, but I'm a TEDx speaker. Like, I actually did that. And I watched my speech back today, and that's the first time I heard it, aside from obviously like practicing and recording myself and whatever. It was the first time I got to really like watch myself do it. And I'm so proud of myself. I really am. Yeah. So I'm going to just talk about first how I got there, because I had been talking about the TED Talk for a while. And so what happened was last year, actually a little bit over that, a year and a half ago, maybe, two girls from the TEDx team at UC Davis in California reached out to me, and they wanted me to do a speech about women's sexuality, women's empowerment, like that sort of spiel. And of course, I was like floored and so excited. And so I started to write this whole speech out. And my idea for it was I really wanted to recreate the experience I had when I first opened up to sex education. And for me, that was when I was working for my old boss, Dolly. She started her like group sessions talking about moments in history where women's sexuality was, I don't even want to say deprioritized, because that's not really what it was. It was shamed. And so she does like a very brief overview of that. And then she goes into some other stuff. And I remember that really just changed my whole life, changed my whole perspective on sex and sexuality. And it was very validating to hear the experiences that women, and you know, that includes femme presenting people, like what we all have experienced. And sometimes I even like had a thought to myself like last week that sometimes I feel like femininity and like what passes as femininity is just like looking like you're enjoying yourself too much. People just think that that's girly. I don't know. That's a whole other thought for a whole other day. But it was really validating for me. And it felt like, wow, okay, so we know that there are these moments in time where women's sexuality was talked about in this crazy psychotic way. And now we all are trying to navigate it, but people aren't really being taught this stuff. So we're trying to navigate everything in the wake of these events that we're not even fully aware of. So I just felt like that was just really eye-opening for me. It changed my whole perspective. And I say this in my TED Talk too, like it really rippled out into all of these other areas of my life. Like I know now, like I wouldn't have gotten on the show had I not gotten so interested in sex education, had I not taken that job with Dolly, and I wouldn't have met John. I wouldn't have this platform. I wouldn't have this podcast. Like it really did change my life. That's like so serious. It really did. And so I'm grateful for that. And so anyway, so when I got reached out to about the TED Talk, I was like, oh my God. Okay. I don't know if I am like prepared, like in life, I don't know if I'm prepared enough for something like that. Like that is just so crazy. But of course I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to do the best I can, and we're going to do it. We're going to do a TED Talk. Absolutely. Sure. So I've been preparing for this TED Talk for like months. And then a couple of weeks before I was supposed to actually give that first initial talk, the sponsors of the TED Talk pulled out, and they also on top of that had some tech issues at the lecture hall. So like they had all these issues. They weren't sure if timing wise it was going to work out. And then they also had all of their sponsors pull out. So I guess whatever money they had allocated towards, I don't know, whatever they needed it for, I'm not sure exactly what their budgeting is. So whatever they needed the money for, that was not going to come through. And so they decided to postpone the TED Talk a year. When we finally got it back up and running and I had been working on my speech, the first time I read it, when I read the speech that I had written a year prior, I was like, I don't know, it has the bones of what I want it to be. But in reality, it wasn't giving that feeling that I wanted. I wanted women to walk away from it. And every time I say women, I really genuinely mean like femme presenting people. And there are times where I obviously talk about like anatomy and that is a little more nuanced, but I really believe that even though I'm using the word woman, like I mean all iterations of that. And I really believe that it like transfers over into all of the nuances of what that means. Anyway, so I think that I really wanted to give women the feeling of, oh my God, like, I can't believe that I didn't know this. And I can't believe how much pleasure and like opportunity for sex to be exciting and fun and also something that I deserve and I feel like I fully deserve. I can't believe how much of that is accessible to me and no one told me. I wanted people to have that experience because that's the experience that I had and it just changed everything for me. So when I read it the first time, I was like, okay, like it's not really giving what it needs to give, but it's a good starting point. So I revisited some books that I really loved, especially when I first got into this whole space. One of them is called Pussy, and it is by Regina Thomas Sauer, I think is how you say your last name. If you look her up on Instagram, it's Mama Gina, G-E-N-A. And I reread that book and that gave me a lot of inspiration. Although I will say as a caveat, like I think that book is extremely powerful and really like fun to read and very inspiring. And if you need like a big push towards opening your sexuality as a woman or someone who identifies as a woman, Pussy's a great one. The only thing is, it is a little outdated. So as I was reading it again this time around, there were moments where I was kind of like, oh, yikes. Oof. You know, so take some of it with a grain of salt. But if you are looking to really like light that fire and feel like really empowered, Pussy is a great book. Again, some of it take with a grain of salt. So I reread that book. And that gave me a lot of inspiration and that added a lot of that like passion to my speech. And I honestly was adjusting that speech until like the Thursday that I left. Like I had little things here and there that I was changing, which was freaking me out. It was freaking me out even more because I was like, oh my God, what if I remember the old versions and I hate it? So I spent so much energy and so much time trying to memorize it. And like it was just scaring the shit out of me, really, because my memory is already not great. And trying to memorize something that is like 12 minutes almost, I was freaking out. And I knew like it was frustrating to me because I know this information back and forth. Like I know it because I wrote it and I know it because it's like in my bones. But I just was so, when you're talking about something like sexuality, for me at least, I wanted to be so specific and purposeful with the way that I worded things. And I wanted to be very careful with the way that I worded things. So it was so important to me that I remained careful when I actually said the speech in real time, even though I knew it wasn't realistic for me to actually memorize the whole thing word for word, if that makes sense. So, but I really was trying. I was trying so hard. I spent the whole flight from New York to Sacramento, rewriting by hand. I have like a notebook full of pages and pages and pages of me rewriting the entire speech as best as I could, word for word. Like I was killing myself trying to do this. And I also, as I was going through this process, I was thinking to myself, I think I'm stressing myself out so much that even if I was actively memorizing it, the stress that I'm putting on myself is like undoing it as well. So I was aware of that at the same time. So what was I talking about? Oh my God. Oh, how bad my memory is. That's ironic. So John and I flew out to Sacramento on Thursday, and Friday we had the whole day aside from the tech rehearsals from 6 o'clock. And so John and I spent the whole day practicing, running this through over and over again. And at that point, oh, and also John took me to a really lovely lunch. He did some research and found a place in the town that was like the sweetest, like most Alyssa spot ever. It was almost like a little house cabin feel. And it was so cozy. Oh my God. And I also forgot. I also forgot that I got so sick. Like, I thought it was allergies. And then I woke up on Thursday and I felt like I got run over. And I was like, no way this is happening to me. No way this is happening to me before the biggest moment in my career thus far. Really? Like, no. Really? Are you see? I was so upset. I was so upset. And on the flight, it felt like a really bad cold. So on the flight, my ears were it piercing, like inner ear piercing, sinuses piercing. I was like, I'm gonna have a sinus infection and I'm gonna have to do this talk and I'm gonna be so upset. So Friday, I was the most disgusting, most snotty like person in the world. I was coughing, I was blowing my nose like crazy. It was disgusting. We went to this really lovely lunch. And I just took a ton of Theraflu and I pushed through and I feel better now. I'm not 100% for sure, but I'm thank God. By the time Saturday rolled around, I was like, it was doable. Took more Ther. I swear by Theraflu. I really do. I took more Theraflu through the rest of the weekend, and that's the only reason why I made it through in terms of the illness. That's the only thing that like really helped me. So anyway. Friday, we had a really cute little lunch. We walked around the little town, and that helped me just kind of like calm down. And I think I needed to take some space from the drilling the talk over and over again. And during that time, John also was like, listen, I think you should just get index cards. I think if you just have like three or four of them, it'll just make this whole process so much easier. And I really didn't want to. I didn't want to, but at that point, I was so desperate. I was like, there's no way that I'm gonna go up there and remember all of it. It's not gonna happen. So I would so much rather be able to give the talk that I want to give and hold stupid cards than go up there and feel like I choked or I missed all this information or I didn't word the things the way I wanted to. So I got the damn index cards and I wrote out my speech. I did it in little bullets, and that really carried me through. And I'm so glad that he supported me in doing that. So when I did my tech rehearsal and I did them with the index cards, I was like, oh my God, okay, this is amazing. I could do this. I could actually do this. This is something that is achievable for me, and I could do this. I also, at the tech rehearsal, I got to watch everybody else's speeches from all the other speakers. And that also really helps because I think once I saw first of all, just kind of the humanity in everyone, I was like, okay, even though some of these people are professors and they lecture all the time. And like one of the other girls who spoke that day, her name is Kara Rose Di Pietro, I think is her last name. She was amazing. She's an actress. She had an incredible speech, so great. And she was, her speech was right before mine. And that also made me feel a lot better because her delivery was incredible, but also very personable instead of being like very cold and professional. And I feel like my soul needed to see that. Like I needed to see how wonderful it is to watch somebody talk about something that they know and are enthusiastic about and passionate about. And that was really impactful for me watching her do her speech and like just do so well. I was like, okay, I got this. So I did my tech rehearsal and she actually watched the speech during tech as well. And watching her face as I was saying all of these things, because I'm telling you, if you haven't listened to the speech, like you really should, because the things that happened in history that we don't talk about enough, like you would be shocked at some of the stuff. Like, I don't, one of the first ones that comes to mind that Kara was really surprised by was that hysteria, which was that diagnosis that they would give women in the 1800s, started in the 1800s, and basically was like a way for them to treat women like they were insane when essentially they were just experiencing period symptoms a lot of the time. The root of the word hysteria is a Greek word that means uterus. So it's literally built into the word, which the root of the word is also the same root of the word for like hysterical and hysterics. It's all the same thing. So like things like that, where it's built into the words that we're saying, watching her react to that and be able to also like react to her reactions in the tech rehearsal helped me a lot too. I was like, okay, because you know when it's your own information, I forget that not everyone knows this, like to the degree that I do. And so it sometimes doesn't sound as exciting or as interesting, which I don't know, maybe that's kind of silly, but I think that's probably relatable. Like if you're really good at one thing or you know a lot about one thing and you meet somebody who doesn't know anything about it at all, the first time you talk to them about it, they're going to be like, what the hell? And with sexuality, especially because people get so shy to talk about it, I feel like that's especially true. So that was also really exciting. Watching her face and her reactions and even just the reactions of the speaker's staff, I was like, okay, I have something here. I have something here. This is going to be impactful. And I'm so excited to give this speech. So by the time Saturday rolled around, between the index cards and having done the tech rehearsal, I felt very ready. I was so nervous in the beginning. I was so nervous. Like walking out I was fine until I started walking out onto the stage. And I was like, oh my God, 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 oh my God. And I really thought I was gonna like trip and fall on my face. I felt like that was imminent. That was going to happen. I was going to trip and I was going to fall and it was gonna be bad. I didn't, which is great. And so walking out, I was nervous. I was nervous up until John said he could see the exact moment where I calmed down, which was when I tell a joke about, I don't know, one of the jokes that I tell in the very beginning. He said he could like see my body language change. And so that was, I felt like a shift when I felt more, you know, in tune and aligned with what I was doing. So yeah. And then I gave the speech. We had a great dinner with John, and I had a dinner with Kara afterwards, the other speaker, and said bye to the wonderful speakers team, got on a flight, and went home, and we got back yesterday morning, and then we had our wonderful little spa day. I got to see my grandma, my aunt, and my cousins last night. So I got to like kind of celebrate and have a moment with them too. And it was just very cool. And one of the things that I think really hit me about that whole experience was I don't think I really embraced how much of an insecurity, I guess, I had around not having a naturally academic background. Like I always had to work really, really hard in high school to get, you know, B's and like sometimes, especially in math, like C's. I worked hard for that C in math. And when I went to college for fashion merchandising, and I didn't want to go to FIT because I needed to get a business degree because I needed people to take me seriously. So I really associated the academic part with being taken seriously. And that has been a really big insecurity for me. And I don't think I really understood how much of an insecurity that was until I did the TED Talk, and having that and being like, and that's not the greatest lesson, because I don't want to give like myself or others the message that the way that I like worked my way out of the insecurity was like doing something that felt like an academic achievement to me. And I wish I could have like undid that insecurity without that, but it really did make a big difference. You know, that's the truth. Like it just felt like no one could take that away from me. Like even people who've had like really great academic achievements, many of them can't say that they've done something like a TED Talk. So I just, not that that's the equivalent of getting like a PhD, obviously, but I felt like, okay, this is a moment where I can say like academically and in terms of just being an intelligent, well-educated woman, I can point to this. And that felt really impactful. It was like a moment of like, okay, I know that when my dad goes to like his poker games, he could for sure brag about this one. You know what I mean? I felt, even though this is probably not true, I mean, I know it's not true, but I felt like I didn't really get to give my parents that experience as much with other things that I've accomplished as I did with something like this. Which is silly, Because again, that's not true. I went to college and I did the show and, you know, like there's plenty of things that my parents are so proud of me for. And this is so my own stuff. But I'm glad that I had this opportunity to do something like the TED Talk to be able to kind of heal that for me. So yeah, it was just a really amazing experience. And I cannot believe that I actually got to do that. It makes me feel very like, okay, I actually am an expert in this. And I don't know everything, but I do know a lot about this one specific area of life, which is sexuality and women's sexuality in particular. So yeah, it was a really beautiful experience. I truly could not have done it without John. I've said this to him 800 times while we were there. I just posted it on my Instagram too. Like he was so helpful in just keeping my head above the ground. Like I just was so nervous and so scared the whole time. And he just kept reminding me like, you know this, like, you know this, you got this, like, this is your shit. Like, you know this stuff. And he was just always so confident that I could do it. And I can't even tell you how much it meant to me to just have him like physically there. And I saw a TikTok this weekend too that was like, if you and your partner are not giggling all the time, like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your partner all day if you're not just like giggling all the time? And one of the comments in it was like, me and my boyfriend or husband, whoever, are always in cahoots. And that made me laugh so much. And I could not stop thinking about it because like after that, I was just like, with John, thinking about how him and I are truly always in cahoots. There's always an inside joke forming. There's always something like ridiculous that we're laughing at. We're always like picking on each other. And he makes me laugh so much all the time. And like, I'm just so grateful to have that in my life and have him in my life. Like, that's just so, so much of a gift to me. And I wouldn't have been able to even have him if I didn't get to do all this like amazing sex ed stuff that got me onto the show. So, guys, I'm exhausted, but I did it. I actually did it. And now to be able to cross that off my list, like off of my to-do list, is like a 10 million pound weight off of my shoulders. I cannot even describe to you. Oh my God, I'm also noticing that I have a parking ticket. That was due at the end of February. So I'm going to have to pay probably double that. Well, that's annoying. What a way to end this really inspiring episode. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to end it that way. Am I? I don't know. I don't know what else I have to say. That was really the most important thing I've gotten to do in my career so far. And I think it's going to open doors for me to do other fun things like this, which is really exciting. If you happen to be in New York, actually, May 19th, I'll be part of an event for Passion and Alchemy, which is my sex education platform, which you can find at passionandalchemy.com. And I post weekly sex ed there. I actually am a week behind right now because of the TED Talk nonsense, but so you'll have to forgive me. I'll have to get some extra posts up this week. But yeah, we're doing an in-person event in New York City, and you can find information for that on the Passion and Alchemy Instagram account or on passionandalchemy.com. Did we put it on the website yet? I just realized I don't think we did. We need to do that. But if you go to our Instagram, Passion and Alchemy, you'll see it, and that's linked in my Instagram as well. So if you're in the New York area and you want to have an in-person, you know, sex ed type of conversation, I would love to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to doing more in-person things like this because I think my favorite part of all of it was being able to answer questions, which is also why I love doing the live shows every Tuesday. We have the best time answering those questions and being able to talk to people and have it be a back and forth. It's really special. And I think that's like been a really huge gift for me as well. So all of that to say, I really never, ever, ever expected my life to be what it is now. And it would not be this if I didn't have the support of all of you. And that includes producer Matt, who's listening to this. And that includes my mom, who's listening to this, and my sister. And, you know, like, I don't want to ever take any of that for granted. I'm so grateful. Like, I really, and I don't want to cry on the podcast, but this is the only place I can safely cry because no one's looking at me. I really am so grateful. I really am. My life, like, only a couple of years ago was so not this, and I felt so lost. So having it be a situation where not only do I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to do, I am embraced in that process is like just so special. It really is. And I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for everyone who listens to this. And God, I'm just very thankful. So if I could kiss all of you on the mouth, I would. I'm going to continue to be a vegetable. I think I'm going to play The Sims and enjoy the rest of my night. And I hope you enjoy the rest of yours. I love you all to pieces. And I mean that. I really do. And I will talk to you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, we are always accepting questions about sex ed, about relationships, life advice. We will accept it all. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email to AlyssaExplainsItAllPod@gmail.com.